And it is time now for Aging Well, brought to you today by the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University and Wright and Philippus, the wonderful people who are the leaders in home health care. And we have in our studio Dr. Olivia Washington, who recently retired from the Institute of Gerontology, and she has been a lifelong champion of improved health for older African Americans, and her new post in her retirement phase may prove to be even more meaningful and productive than the last 30 years. And we're going to find out what she's up to these days and what's coming up in her future. If you have questions for Olivia, by all means, join with us at 248-557-3300. Olivia, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. How you been? You enjoying retirement?
Yes, the part of it that I currently am using.
I was just going to say, they say age is just a number. I would say that for you, retirement is just a word.
I'm not planning on retirement either.
No, there's some truth.
Well, it's been almost 2 months now since you officially retired from the IOG.
Right.
So what are you up to? What's going on?
Well, I've not been able to sleep in very much, I can tell you that. But I have enjoyed being on my own time and controlling my own schedule, you know, accomplishing things that I think are important to accomplish. You know, Bob, initial retirement is not always a neat package, as tidy as we would like. There's oftentimes leftover business, things to do to prepare for transitioning into retirement, and obligations that we have to complete. For example, working with doctoral students. We've just completed successfully the defense of one student I think the past couple of months, December, and cleaning up her work in January, and I think I have one more that I'm working on her committee to complete work with. So there's much still.
Are you working out of your own business situation or your own home, so to speak, or are you working with another organization?
No, this is still university business. If you have doctoral students who are in process.
Okay, so you're working with the doctoral students at Wayne State.
Yes, to complete their programs. So there's one more.
So you're not really retired from Wayne State then?
Well, about 97%.
97. You don't have a regular job at the IOG is what
you
say.
No, I do not.
But these are doctoral students in the IOG program?
No, this is a nursing student.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a nursing.
Remember,
I had a joint appointment. I had a 50-50 joint appointment with nursing and gerontology.
Okay.
I had life in two different places.
I didn't realize that. I know you've been so busy with the African-American program that you had for the seniors.
Right.
That's got to be one of the biggest problems. Are you still going to be involved in that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, not at this point.
Well, you'll be missed because you did wonderful things there. Mm-hmm. And we're talking with Olivia Washington, and I know that you have spent a great deal of your life helping others through their lives, as you were just talking about. And how about I want to talk to you about surprises that you may have run into as you navigate this healthcare system, because there's been an awful lot of talk about healthcare.
Yes.
And I'd like to get your comments on them. But speaking of healthcare, reminds me that the people who are underwriting today's program are the leaders in the home healthcare field, and those are the people at Wright and Philippus.
J. Philippus, president of Wright and Philippus. People come through our doors needing items such as portable oxygen, wheelchairs, and diabetic shoes. But when they leave, they have much more than a medical product. They leave with a better quality of life. That's our daily mission at Wright and Philippus, and it's why we'll work harder to provide you with the caring service you'd expect from the area's leading home health care company. Over the past 60 years, we've earned a reputation for providing the best service in the industry. It will always be our company's number one goal and is our commitment to you. If you or a family member need anything for home health care, please visit the Wright and Philippus nearest you. We have more than 30 locations throughout the state to serve you.
Wright and Philippus, first to serve your home health care needs.
And I know that there are some of you, like myself, who do not go online. And you can't go to firsttoserve.com, but you can pick up your telephone, like I would do, and call toll-free and talk to the folks at Wright and Philippus, 1-800-482-0222. We're talking with Olivia Washington, and she is recently retired, but she's not really retired. She's all busy again, doing all kinds of things. And you're really getting involved in other parts of the healthcare system. Tell us about that, and any surprises?
Well, when you think about my own retirement, there are things that I've had to do, decisions I've had to make regarding healthcare. Once you separate from your employer and that insurance program that they have, and I've learned a lot. In making this transition, I learned, for example, personally, that navigating our healthcare system is not easy for the average citizen.
It never was.
No. There are many barriers, you know, Bob, to getting information about healthcare to make wise decisions. For example, you need a telephone. Yeah. Many people don't have telephones. You know, the other part of my work is with homeless, people who are homeless. And so, yeah.
They don't have telephones.
Many have, you know, a few minutes on their telephones, but you need a telephone that you can use for a great period of time. Sometimes you need a computer. I've learned in my own need to find additional health care now that I've separated that there don't seem to be any Medicare offices that you can actually go to.
Oh,
you
really?
Actually need to be able to use a computer, get online, or you need to spend lots of time on the telephone.
Well, now, that doesn't make any sense
Isn't
to me
something?
Because there's an awful lot of seniors like myself
mm-hmm.
who don't go online. It's
yeah.
not that I'm baffled by it or anything like that. I just
yeah.
have never had the time. I want to read.
Well, that's my point.
And then my I'm surprised that the Medicare people mm-hmm. who are serving the mm-hmm. seniors don't have offices.
Doesn't seem to be the case.
Wow.
Doesn't seem to be the case.
You got to...
Cutting back on everything.
Well,
you
go online to them, but you can't even make a phone call to them?
You can make phone calls and plan
okay.
to spend time on the phone if you have one. You need to also have strong reading and verbal skills.
Okay.
Lots of talking. And can you imagine the amount of work that you would need to have done to educate yourself about this process that you're entering into to be able to ask the right questions? Because people don't have all day to answer to give you answers. There are a number of deadlines that must be met. It requires a lot of follow-up as well. Many critical decisions have to be made in a short period of time. I've learned, for example, that once I separated from Wayne State University's healthcare plan for me, I had 63 days in which to make a decision about what I was going to choose for my next healthcare options, for example, prescription drug plans. And if you don't get one within 63 days, you're penalized 10% for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine that?
They did tell you that when you separated from this university.
Yes, 63 days. Now, I retired December 31st. I went to Florida to take care of some business and took H1N1 flu with me unknowingly.
Oh, boy.
So I was ill for 3.5 weeks.
Wow.
Out of it. So part of my 63 days are gone, right?
Yeah, 3 weeks were gone out
yeah.
of your 2 months.
Then back
Holy
on my
moly.
Feet, then you've got to, again, read all this material, get an idea and understanding about what you're doing and why you're doing it so that you can ask appropriate questions and then go for it. Well, it's not easy. And then there are constant changes that are being made that you're oftentimes not aware of that will affect the decisions and the choices that you're making. Can you imagine 40 or 50 or more Medicare-approved prescription drug companies that one would need to research, determine what's best for them? And if you're transitioning, as we are about to do, that's another issue because you wouldn't be looking for a plan here in Michigan to stay here,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to find a national plan.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got to find that information. Where are the national plans?
You're not retiring. There's a whole other job description that's coming
are
into
there
play
many
here.
National plans out there?
Yeah. For example, in looking at the ones that we could begin with here in Michigan, which is an appropriate thing to do since we're still here, and the plan that could transition to Florida, that's the way you would look for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are about 36 or 40 of those to search through.
Do you know a website or a phone number that people can go to get information about that?
Medicare.gov, I think.
Medicare.gov
right,
is a basic
Medicare.gov,
yeah.
right, basic website. And you can go there and put in the keywords that you need if you're looking for prescription drug plans, looking for health care plans, etc. And it doesn't end there. okay, because these plans all operate differently. So you've got to then learn the terminology.
Oh, boy.
It's a whole other world, right?
And that can be kind of complicated.
It can be.
Language.
Very difficult. For example, Medicare Advantage plans or Medicare replacement plans. Now, those are the same. You've got to know that. But they're not the same as Medicare Supplement or Medigap policies.
Yeah.
Those are totally different. So you must know how these plans operate, how different they are. And if your physician that you want to treat you is going to accept them.
You are either getting ready to do a comedy skit that's going to be hilarious if everybody gets ready, or a how-to book, which, or both.
I have a manual that I'm writing for myself.
Well,
Bravo.
You are working
on
a book,
like
aren't
we
you?
Need
one. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We are talking with Olivia Washington, and it's interesting. If you would like to join the conversation, if you have a question about these things happening in healthcare or senior problems, whatever they may be, 248-557-3300 is our number, and we'll be back and continue our conversation in just a moment. Speaking of seniors, we have a lot of them in this audience, of course, and they want to be in the know, and the way to do that is to be a reader of the American Senior Gazette newspaper, which comes out quarterly, every 3 months. And it contains all kinds of news and information and how-tos and where-tos. And they've got a couple of new segments that are coming up on their website, AmericanSeniorGazette.com or .org. Pardon me. I got to look and see what that is. It's something new. They just put up a website. And I read the paper is what I do. And you can pick it up free. It doesn't cost you anything. Pick it up free at Kroger or Walgreens pharmacies, plus libraries and senior centers, or you can have it mailed to you, which is a nice way to do it, and it only costs $12 for 6 issues. That'll last you a year and a half. And incidentally, when you do that, they give you a thank you $10 gift certificate to Max and Irma's restaurant, so it really costs almost nothing to have it mailed to you. And if you use any of the advertisers in the American Senior Gazette, you also get a $10 gift certificate to Max and Irma's. For more information, call 1-888-489-8980. It's .org. Thank you. The American Senior Gazette. Now, we're talking with Olivia Washington, and I know that you were talking about homeless people, and you work mm-hmm. a lot with folks like that. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of future for homelessness?
Oh, yes. Homelessness is going to be around, in my opinion, for quite some time.
Okay. It is not something that's going to go away.
No, not at all.
I've always been amazed at it's really more like the choice of the homeless person to be homeless, is it not?
No, I don't think so.
Because it seems to me there are so many programs out there for homelessness, mm-hmm. for people to take them in. You know, Salvation Army, for example, or there are all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to go to these things. Why not?
Well, that's part of the story. The other part is that, you know, those agencies have limited resources. They're trying to help numerous folks. For example, here in Detroit, on any given day, not just in the wintertime, you may have 18,000.
Oh, you're kidding.
18,000 people who are homeless.
I didn't realize it was that.
Yes, that's a lot of folk.
And it's grown. I mean, it's grown since I was a kid. I used to volunteer with the one down at 4th Street Presbyterian Church downtown.
I'm familiar.
And then out what is it, 5 Mile mm-hmm. At the Salvation Army out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've just watched this thing grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and when you think about the problems that we have with the economy now,
the
mortgage crisis.
Yeah.
Right.
People are losing their homes.
Right. Employers cutting back mm-hmm. on health care for their employees, making them pay more for that. And
people losing all of their assets because of a health issue.
Yeah.
And the bill comes due and
exactly.
you're broke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, these agencies cannot take care of all of the problems that a person will have once they become homeless, and not forever. You know, they have time limits in terms of how long they're able to help any particular individual.
Okay, but you don't see any real change in this in the near future?
No, I don't. No, I see that. I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Wow. I think it's going to get worse. And then there's another problem most of us don't think about. You know, for example, a number of the homeless shelters are only able to take people who are 18 years of age and older.
Oh.
But people forget that there are quite a few young people, adolescents,
sure,
who age out of foster care. And once they age out of foster care, they're still not 18. So those people are being lost quite often.
Why is it that they don't keep them in foster care until they're 18?
Well,
I would think
all
they
these
would.
Agencies, you know, have different criteria about why they're able to do what they're able to do for young people.
Well, breaks
sure.
back down to budgeting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, you said you had some plans to do, what is it, Tell My Story? Is that the book that you're working on or the project?
Telling My Story is the project that my colleague, Dr. David Moxley, who's now at the University of Oklahoma, have been working on together for about 12 years now. And this is a very important project. We work with between 600 to 700 women who have been homeless now for about the last 12 years, and we followed very closely eight of those women for about 7 to 8 years.
So you're going to tell their story?
Well, we've been telling this story.
Okay.
And we're going to continue to tell it, and we've added more women, too.
In what way do you tell the story? Is it a written thing? Is it a website thing? Is it a...
Well, we have a website now.
Lecture series there.
We have a website, but remember, we also have that wonderful exhibit that we did called Telling My Story.
Homeless Story.
Yes, and
is that an ongoing exhibit, or does that happen once a year, or what?
Well, we have installed it about six times now since June 2006, and we are working on plans to rejuvenate it, to continue it. It was actually designed to travel.
Okay.
Yes. So we are hoping to be able to find resources so that we can travel it.
What happens at that exhibit?
Well, the exhibit is made up of eight 7-foot panels, and the women have a conceptual 2D portraits that they have been helped to create. They've been helped to create regarding their own lives and trials with homelessness and trying to come out of it. And so the panels are concave, and they hang from these panels, from these frames, and the viewer is invited to actually walk into the frame. It is extremely powerful in helping the women to tell their stories. And this educational component is very important because people need to know the realities of homelessness, and it helps them to become more mindful of the consequences.
You know, when's the next exhibit going to be done? Do you know?
We don't have a date yet. What we're trying to do now, because I'm transitioning and my colleague, worthy colleague, Dr. Moxley, has already moved out to Oklahoma 3 years ago, we are identifying someone here in Detroit that we can continue to work with and mentor and help them to help us to continue to establish this program.
What was the website that you have?
It is not live yet, and I don't have the URL, but I can give that to you. I can get it back to you, and you can talk about it on another program.
Sure.
Because they can actually go and look at it now. It's under development.
It's under development.
It's under development.
What's the website right now? Do you have an address for the website?
No, I can't.
That's the URL.
I can't remember to tell you the truth.
Oh. Universal Resource Locator is what
that's
URL
right.
You've got one, but you're not sure what it is.
And there's lots loaded on it already that people can actually access. For example, we have loaded probably about 30 articles.
Okay. Is there a telephone number where people can get information about these things what we're talking about?
At the present, we don't have a number, but I can give you a number later on.
Okay, because I know you don't have an office, and I didn't know whether you used your own home number or had a number at home that was
No,
for
I don't
this
have
purpose.
A number at home. But what we are doing is I indicate we've identified someone that we think we can work with here in Detroit that we are going to mentor for about the next 3 years. Regarding this work and what's important about it, what needs to be done. We're also, in conjunction with that person, trying to find another facility organization that can work along with her to garner resources and continue this work.
Well, that's fantastic.
So we will have our hands in it, at least very hands-on, for another 3 years. As we move in somebody else.
Well, when you get some information about where people can call or what the website is.
And the person's name.
Tell you what,
how would you like to even have that person on your show here?
Well, we could have it during one of these Aging Well segments.
That would be great.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're talking with Olivia Washington. This is Aging Well. If you have questions for Olivia, Join with us, 248-557-3300. We've been talking a little bit about homelessness, and I want to get into another aspect of that, and that is when you don't want to stay in your home anymore because there's too much work to take care of it. It's too big for you. You want to get out of there and meet with other people and live in a more communal life. Presbyterian Villages of Michigan has been serving seniors of all faiths since 1945. And they've got some wonderful facilities. I'll zero in on the community out at Westland. The Village of Westland has quite a variety of quality senior living choices. They have independent apartments with services. They have assisted living for people who need a little bit more help. They even have full memory care. And all of this is on 23 beautiful acres. Importantly, the Village of Westland also offers respite care for loved ones of caregivers. And that's important because if you're a caregiver, you know the strain you're under. And whether it's going to be a few days or a few weeks that you're going to be away to get some rest on your own, that loved one is going to get the same high-quality service as the regular residents do. And each of their cottages accommodates 20 privately furnished suites that are wonderfully managed by a dedicated staff to provide that cozy home setting. If you'd like to find out more about all that the Village of Westland has to offer, you can call Nancy Roberts to set up an appointment. Nancy will buy you lunch and take you on a tour. Call 734-762-8896. And I'm happy to say the Presbyterian Villages has announced there's no increase in prices from last year. They've kept the same price. So if you want to go online, you can go to Presbyterian Villages of Michigan's website. It is pvm.org. pvm.org. Or call and talk to Nancy. 734-762-8896. I know that you've established some wonderful relationships, Olivia, that have guided many of your research themes, and I'm wondering, one of them is called the Sophia, or is it Sophia?
Sophia.
Sophia, okay.
Right.
Is that a particular person? It's the Sophia Project. when I see that word, I think of Sophia Turkey.
Right, well,
And that's Sophia. Yeah. This is Sophia.
Right.
And, yeah. Well, what's the Sophia Project? Tell me about it.
Well, it is a project where we have identified a number of women who have been homeless mm-hmm. and who are willing to work with us and even advise us quite often regarding things that we intimately need to know more about and developing interventions and programs to continue to assist them. And as we continue to assist them, we also help them to develop attitudes and information, resources as a group that they can garner to be able to help each other and to expand these resources to even other more homeless women. Mm-hmm. So we're not just working with a small group of women, but we're also training them how to assist others. We're very much interested as we work with these women regarding their ideas about how this problem can be resolved and how they can be helped to prevent themselves from continuing to fall into these situations.
Are there more homeless women or more homeless men, or are they about the same?
Well, you know, when we first started to look at homelessness seriously, say maybe two decades ago, there mm-hmm. seemed to have been more homeless men. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this picture of men in the Bowery, for example, who had problems with alcohol, etc.
Yeah.
But as changes have occurred with the economy and with family structures and all of the different stressors have affected people in a more general way, we've seen more women become homeless.
Yeah, well, the single parent family has come up so voluminously here in recent time, and it's not uncommon at all for single parent families, and these are usually women.
Yes.
And then when they have a problem economically or whatever, they're the homeless people.
Well, also think about people who are vulnerable. And most of my life's work have been with vulnerable people who are in vulnerable positions who need help. For example, when you look at the National Committee on Pay Equity, the 2007 report calculated that African-American women earned only 71.7% of wages earned by men. And when you look at Women's Institute for Securing Retirement, 4 out of 10 women are expected to live in poverty during their retirement years.
Yeah,
so you have some populations that are historically vulnerable. And as the stressors increase on all of us, then you can understand how much more these populations are impacted. So they're at greater risk for becoming homeless.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. Yeah, greater risk.
Well, everybody's having problems with putting away enough money to retire. We were talking about that this morning with Tom Bokes from Town Center Financial Services in Warren, which is one of our sponsors, and we talked with them on the first half hour of the show from 9 to 9:30 Monday through Thursday, and that's a big problem of retirement planning, and we got into it quite nicely this morning about what's out there, and you really need to sit down and talk with a financial advisor. Let me break into our conversation for a moment and remind everybody that it doesn't cost you anything to talk with the people at Town Center Financial Services in Warren. They have no charges, no obligations. They tell you what is available to you, and they work with you to set up a budget and a plan that allows you to make investments so that you can have the kind of money you're going to need. We're all living longer. And the cost of retirement is skyrocketing. And, of course, if you run into health care problems, you're really in a bind. So talk with the folks at Town Center and find out what can be done for your situation. They work with each person on an individual basis. And they have all kinds of investment programs that you can get into. And they will show you what they can do and what would be right for you. The number is 1-800-574-9750. Town Center Financial Services in Warren. 1-800-574-9750. All right, let more about the Sophia Project. Is there really a lady named Sophia?
No.
Oh, okay. Why'd you pick the name? That's what I
said. Well, the acronym stands for something very special.
Oh, it's an acronym.
It's an acronym.
Oh, okay. But Sophia, what's the
difference? S-O-F-I-A. Well, I can remember the last part of it now that you put me on the spot.
You're in good company with people who don't remember everything.
Right. So it is an inspiration. It's a project that inspires people to work together to work on these very real problems that older women and women who are at risk for becoming homeless have.
What's your description or definition of older women? Or to put it another way, what about seniors? Where do you draw the line? Everybody seems to have a different year.
55 and older.
Okay.
And particularly for women who are homeless, to be 55 and homeless is old. So it's a different criteria from the general public.
Well, speaking of aging, that's going to be a big problem as the boomers get to be retiring age. And what are going to be the important issues in aging?
Well, I think we're going to continue to have many problems with homelessness. Healthcare access is going to be a continuing problem. Isolation for many people because they don't have the resources that they need or the ability to access them. Disparities among older adults is going to be a continuing problem, especially among minority populations. All of these problems are going to increase.
Well, Olivia, it has been a delight. I look forward to having you back again when you have some more information about how the program that you're getting into is working and what happens with you. Good luck.
Thank you.
As they say in our business, break a leg.
It's always been a pleasure to come here and talk with you all.
Yes, it's our pleasure. Have a wonderful, wonderful retirement life. You're not going to be retired, are you? This has been Aging Well, brought to you today by the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University and Wright & Phillippus, the leaders in the home health care field. We've been talking with Olivia Washington today, and we'll look forward to learning more about Aging Well next month. Stay